We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
I'm Chinee Ogwumike.
I'm Lisa Leslie, and we're very excited to tell you about our new podcast with Blue Wire, Front and Center.
Lisa and I are breaking down what's going on in our lives, in the world, and keeping it 100.
We're also learning from amazing guests as well, like Emmanuel Acho.
People that show love to me, I forever got their back.
Vivica A. Fox.
If the foundation isn't right, then the rest of it's going to go wrong from there.
And more.
Subscribe to Front and Center today.
Blue Wire.
What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to Brooklyn Buzz. I'm Nick Faye. With me, as always, Jack Manuel and special guest Alec Leash. Guys, how are we doing?
Doing all right. I'm excited to start talking about the Nets again.
Thank God we have people like Joe Money McCarr and Alec on this podcast to help inform us. I know a little bit. But I'm an amateur in comparison to the expert knowledge that we're going to get from this guy.
Yeah, Alec's been doing some great work for us at otgbasketball.com, so check that out. And as always, you can find the Buzz on platforms, including otgbasketball.com and Blue Wire Pods. But guys, let's talk about some prospects. Obviously, Nets have the number 19 pick in the draft, actually, funny enough, from Alec's Sixers. But looking at the prospects that they possibly could get in this range, I know Jack sent me a link that had a couple guys. So we'll kick things off. Tell me about Josh Green.
So Josh Green kind of fits into the 3-and-D mold. The closest comparison a lot of people are talking about with him is Gary Harris. It's not known whether or not he'll reach that ceiling, especially because he was only a freshman this year. But he's got the right mentality. He's very intuitive at cutting off the ball and relocating and stuff. He's also a defensive-minded player. He had to take on a lot of the tougher defensive assignments for Arizona. If the Nets pick him, they're buying into him being like an immediate contributor now and possibly growing into more under the tutelage of their veterans.
Yeah, I've been a Josh Green stan on this podcast a couple of times. I'll continue to maintain that, obviously, because Josh Green is of my native country. As Alec sort of said, you know, I think his three ball is improving. You know, I've seen some video popping up here and there, him sort of working on that because, you know, obviously he's more D than three. I think that he's a good cutter. And I think in terms of fit, I think he would maybe, out of the names that we're going to discuss, might be the best fit just straight away. If you're putting in, plugging in, playing, as Nick likes to say, might be the best fit we have out of this draft class. Alec, would you agree, disagree? Are there some names that we're going to discuss that you think are more ready made to contribute to the Brooklyn Nets next season?
Yeah, he's up there. I'd probably consider him in that top tier of guys because I'm of the opinion that the Nets need to make like a win now pick at 19 rather than like one of the projects that we're going to get into.
What type of impact do you think he could have as a rookie?
As a rookie, probably early on, just like a defense-heavy like role. I think he could grow into a playoff role. I mean, he's got the mold of like that two-way wing that you'd want to play in the playoffs, and I think it's possible for him to get like, I don't know, 10 to 15 playoff minutes as soon as next season.
Yeah, I think he's got the defensive prowess that he might be one of the Nets' best defenders if he were on the team immediately, which is saying something. It's his number one skill. He's a good athlete and provides, you know, immediate athleticism. And I think under the assistant coaches who, you know, we've got Royal Ivy now in the squad, which is a good hire, one of KD's guys, one of Serge Ibaka's guys as well, but we'll save that for another pod. I just think that he just needs some fine-tuning in terms of, you know, a bit of body control stuff. I think his shot isn't necessarily fluid, but I think that obviously comes, you know, and, you know, in the college system, it's different. You know, I think he was like 36% or something on not a large volume of shots, but, and his handle isn't amazing, but I don't think he's going to need to be a guy that's going to have to, like, the most driving and dribbling he'll have to do is off closeouts. Like if Kyrie kicks it out to him or Spencer or Karras kick it out to him and he's sort of closing out a la Joe Harris style. Now, I'm not comparing him to my Lord and Messiah, Joe Harris. He is a better defender. He is a better conventional athlete. But Joe Harris obviously is an immense three-point shooter. Just all of the tools, I think he's going to contribute immediately. You know, if we're talking minutes-wise, you know, I'd give him 15 to 20 minutes or so because, you know, wing, I think he can play anywhere from 2 maybe to 4 because his wingspan is, you know, near 7 foot. I think his youth as well, he's continuing to develop into his body and being under the NBA system and you know, getting the right diet, the right workouts. I mean, he's going to be a solid dude going forward. So I'm all in on Josh Green. I know there's probably some better guys that we're going to chat about, but I can't help but feel a little bit of bias towards my guy, JG.
Yeah, I mean, you guys got me feeling like, why are we talking about the rest of the list? Like, this guy seems like he could come in and be a great fit. But moving on to another prospect, RJ Hampton. Tell me about him.
So RJ Hampton would be a bit of a deviation from that, like a completely different mindset from the Josh Green situation. RJ Hampton would be a solid selection if you're going to move on from Dinwiddie, which rumors would say actually are kind of likely. He's really raw. Well, not really raw. He's like sort of raw. He played in Australia this year, kind of like just like LaMelo Ball did. He's got the physical profile to be like a really big slashing guard. Possibly handle the offense in a few years, like on his own. I think in like an immediate term role, I think he's a bit of a questionable fit with the Nets just because I think they should be looking for like role players who will fit around Durant and Irving. But I think if they're picking him, this is Sean Marks' way of saying, I'm going to keep like drafting like projects kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I think he could play a small role right away and it would mostly be off ball. I don't think he'd be a lead playmaker anytime soon, especially not with a team with the expectations that the Nets have.
Before I get into my opinions on RJ Hampton, Alec, do you think, he's going to be a weird question for you. I'm not sure how much you know about Janan Musa. Who do you think we get more minutes next year out of Janan Musa or RJ Hampton?
We don't even know if Musa's going to make the team.
Oh, man, I don't know. I'm just throwing questions out there. Let's get crazy with it.
When you put it that way, you make a fair justification for Hampton. Yeah, I would rather give those minutes to Hampton because, like, I'm of the belief that you can never have too many ball handlers. So... Mm-hmm. Having Hampton, especially because his athleticism is going to play right away. It's mostly about his jumper.
Yeah, he's one of the... I was mentioning Josh Green as a great athlete. RJ Hampton might be one of the best athletes in this class. Top five, at least, from what I've sort of heard and what I've sort of studied around it. You know, to also correct, Alec, I can't believe I'm going to be correcting our draft expert, played for New Zealand, was in the National Basketball League of Australia, but played for the New Zealand team. So maybe Sean Marks is going to have a little bit of extra love for him because he's from his native homeland. I think that RJ Hampton has been the most heavily linked player to the Brooklyn Nets. And, you know, we've seen articles in Nets Daily and the New York Daily News and stuff, but I don't know why the Nets would pick RJ Hampton because, as Alec was alluding to, if you're using that pick, you've got to pick a guy who can contribute now. You know, there's no point in picking a Nicholas Claxton, a Janan Musa, a Ronion Skuritz, guys that are going to develop into probably decent NBA players, but the Nets need guys now. You know, Sadiq Bayes, Desmond Bane, Josh Green. RJ Hampton is a guy that's going to be good in 4 years' time, and he has a higher ceiling than a lot of the names we're going to speak about, as Alec alluded to, because of his athleticism. You know, he's got, he does remind me a lot of another Aussie, Dante Exum. You know, he's got some Dante Exum vibes. Obviously, Dante Exum's injury history has plagued him. I really, really hope that that doesn't happen to RJ Hampton. He doesn't necessarily have that history behind him. He's just incredibly raw. You know, he just doesn't do a lot of NBA-ready sort of stuff, but that will obviously come. You know, and I think there was the exhibition game that they had quite a while ago at this point, but, you know, we judge off the small sample size that we have of these guys actually playing. But, you know, I don't think he's ready to contribute to the Brooklyn Nets. You know, if this was, say, the Charlotte Hornets or the Detroit Pistons, then I'd be more like, yeah, go for this guy. You know, let him go, let him grow under your system. OKC, he feels like an OKC guy. An athlete who can maybe shoot in the future. Sam Presti loves those sort of dudes. But for the Nets right now, I don't see it making sense. But, you know, Sean Marks is smarter than myself. But don't know if he's smarter at the draft than Alec. We'll have to wait and see.
I mean, he has a pretty good track record, but that Musa pick is really a stain. But but talking Hampton, I think, like you said, Jack, you prefer to get somebody that is, you know, win now and ready to go. But I also think, like, if there's a player that you really, really like and think can turn into somebody down the line, it's at least like a nice safety valve you have as like a young piece on the roster, or it's even like a trade asset. If they even showcase a little bit, that could be a guy you move at the deadline, maybe not this year, but the next year can get you an extra veteran piece. But any other thoughts on Hampton?
I can't say it, Nick, just in my eyes, you know, whether this is smoke screens, I don't understand why smoke screens would be happening from the likes of Sean Marks to pick 19 or something. You know, we'll talk about later in the pod about whether it's going to be kept, whether it shouldn't be kept, what Alec thinks about that. But focusing on the players at hand, you know, if we're ranking some of these guys, I see why RJ Hampton is... everyone is so enamored with him because of, you know, whenever you see a guy with the athleticism and the potential, it's like, all right, let's get this guy. But the Nets have higher aspirations. They need guys to add to their rotation right now. And RJ Hampton's younger as well. You know, guys that are like, you know, in their either late teens or 20, 21, 22, those guys have the NBA ready mold to contribute straight away. RJ Hampton doesn't. And it's not that I don't like him as a prospect. It's just that I don't like him as a prospect on the Brooklyn Nets.
Gotcha. Yeah,
Jack said everything. You know, I'm pretty much in agreement that I don't think he's the best fit with the Nets, and I don't really know why he's been mocked to the Nets in so many. I think it's just because of Sean Marks' track record of drafting like risks and projects. Yes. So maybe that's all it is.
All right, moving on to another prospect. We got Tyrell Terry. Tell me about his game.
You want to talk about risks. Tyrell Terry is a risk. I actually have him falling to the Sixers in my mock for off the glass. He's really small. That's the issue with him. He's 6'2 and 175 pounds right now. Dang. And that's a big jump from what he was before, like, his most recent weigh. And he was at, like, 160 in the middle of the season. He's really small, and that makes his ceiling, like, kind of limited in terms of how playable he is on a playoff stage, especially next to Kyrie Irving. I don't know how the two of them could coexist in a backcourt together, but the one thing he has, and this is one thing with like guys who have physical limitations, is if they have a swing skill, like something that really jumps off the page, they might stick. And Tyrell Terry has that in his range. He can hit a shot from almost anywhere. And I think as an off-ball guy, he's really good. He's not as good as Steph Curry at this. No one is, but his ability to relocate off the ball is like so nice for a guy his age. It just comes down to his size, and I don't really know why the Nets would be in on a guy like that given their roster.
Alec, is he the best shooter in this draft in your mind?
That's a good question. He's not the most like efficient shooter, but he's the guy who will have the most gravity of anybody in the draft.
That And in a lot of ways, that can matter. But does it matter more on the Brooklyn Nets? Do they want more efficiency in that sort of respect? I think, if I do remember correctly, Nick, that I know Joe was a big fan of Tyrell Terry. You know, just having a flamethrower shooter, he obviously wants to add shooting to this team. You can never have too much shooting. You know, having Joe Harris and Tyrell Terry add in a lineup of some formation out there, maybe you've got some bigger guys out there to sort of, you know, obviously Joe Harris as a shooting guard is like 6'6". Tyrell Terry as a shooting guard, 6'2". You know, his wingspan obviously isn't necessarily there, as Alec alluded to, not the biggest frame. But within that frame, you know, he does do a lot. He is really crafty around the rim, just like watching some of his video. You know, he's just a really ambidextrous finisher. You know, he's quite crafty and athletic there. And, you know, I'm always sort of like against the heightism, the athleticism sort of thing in the NBA. If you're a hooper, you're a hooper. And I think this kid can hoop. And whether that's within the Brooklyn Nets or somewhere else, I think Kevin O'Connor has it going like top 10. Now, Kevin O'Connor has like Killian Hayes number one. Now, that's saying something.
Everyone has Killian Hayes number one.
There we go. Everyone has subjective biases about certain prospects or whatever. Out of the guys that we've mentioned so far, I guess, Alec, who would you think? Do you think Josh Green is a better fit than Tyrell Terry? Do you think Tyrell Terry is better than RJ Hampton? What are your thoughts?
I would say the order we went in is I'd go chalk here. I think Josh Green is the best fit. Hampton would be the second best fit just because I know that you can play him a little bit next to Kyrie. Terry and Kyrie Irving, I don't see as a feasible partnership at this point.
And it's going to be tough for a guard to get minutes, you know, especially if they don't make a trade. You're looking already at Kyrie Irving, Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, and you're probably trying to play Joe Harris at guard, you know, so it's going to be tough for any rookie to get minutes there. And I wouldn't say guard is probably a need for them.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't either.
No, I don't think so, but to make the case for him, if he was out there in lineups with Caris as like a sort of jolt of six-man energy off the bench, like Landry Shamet with the Clippers to an extent, you know, he wasn't really starting a lot, but when he was out there with like Lou Williams, obviously that defense was horrible. But, you know, if it's without Kyrie and it's, you know, Spencer Caris lineups, guys who have more size, more defensive acumen, you know, Joe Harris as well is a good defender, you know, at least a capable defender. I think that there are ways where you can make it work, but it's obviously, you know, you'd much rather have him with the likes of Jrue Holiday or a point guard who just has immense defensive capabilities. Like, imagine putting him next to a guy like Trae Young. That would be insane. I'm actually kind of into it a little bit, just to go like sort of a little bit crazy. But I'm a little bit higher on the fit just because, you know, I love shooting, and you can never have too many shooters. And if you have that, like Alec was alluding to, an elite skill, that just gives you a draw card that no other player has.
Yeah. I think he's a better fit on, well, the Sixers, like I mocked him. Just like guys, a more defensive-oriented, like, roster, and probably next to, like, a big playmaker, like Simmons, yeah. like a Blake Griffin type, I think he would be a better fit with.
Yeah, I see that too. I'm not a big fan. That's where Jack and I disagree a little bit. I think hype matters, especially when you get into the postseason. Like, you don't want a guy out there that they're just going to target on every possession. So I'm not a huge fan of the undersized guards, especially considering what's in-house. But moving on to Desmond Bane, this is a guy that's gotten some hype on Nets Twitter. Why are fans talking about him?
Well, Desmond Bane is the guy who I had in the OTG mock to the Nets. I think he's ready-made. He's a ready-made wing. He was a senior at Texas Christian this past year. He shot the lights out. He shot like 44% from downtown. Obviously, a one-season sample size in college can be a little messy, and his shot isn't the most clean, but it's pretty good and it's pretty quick. He's got an NBA-ready frame. He's ready to step into an NBA rotation right now as a wing and check a lot of guys. He's also of like the non-point guards, he's one of the best passers in this draft class. So he can fit right away as a guy who maybe you can use in some side pick and rolls or something. He'll make the right play off of a closeout or something for sure. I think he's a really clean fit with a lot of contenders. He's the guy that a lot of contenders who already have their ball handlers and bigs figured out, that's the guy who you slot in right away. Mm. And it just so happened that the Nets have that somewhat.
Yeah, I didn't really know about the passing acumen until I sort of saw a couple of things on Twitter. And hearing Alex speak about it again makes me, you know, enthused about the fact how he would fit in a Steve Nash, Mike D'Antoni offensive system. You know, I think that ball movement would be a real prerequisite, and he can do a lot of it. He does just things, you know. You know, if we're sort of saying ready-made prospects, it's Josh Green or Desmond Bane. We'll probably get to a couple of other guys who fit a similar sort of mold. I think Josh Green's a better athlete. But Desmond Bane just is a better player overall, and I think can contribute better and be more consistent and probably play key rotation minutes in a more ready-made sense. Who do you think's a better defender, Alec?
Between who and who?
Green and Bane. Feels like I'm speaking about freaking like Batman Dark Knight Rises or something.
Like, right now it's Bane, but Green has the potential to be better down the line.
So you guys would say Bane's probably a little bit more ready to play right now and contribute than Josh Green?
Yeah, I mean, he's older, and he was just more effective at TCU this past year than Green was. And Green was a freshman, so that's why he's just older.
Does Green, you think, have a higher ceiling then?
Than Bane? Yeah, slightly.
What, in terms of NBA comps, where everyone loves the NBA comps, Alex, what's your comp for Desmond Bane if you were to think of one off the top of your head, or a couple?
Or even shades. That's a new thing.
Let's see. I got to think about this, because it's weird that he's got such a quick trigger and a stout frame as well.
I've heard Brogdon before, because he does like just a lot of good stuff, but isn't a crazy good athlete.
Yeah, Brogdon with less like ball handling. I don't see him being like that featured guy you give the ball to at the end of the game, but I definitely see like Bucks Brogdon. I see that comparison.
Yep, no, that's a good one.
Sounds like a great pick at number 19.
Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving. That makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility of your hiring. You only pay for what you need and can pause your account at any time. And there's no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job posts, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through September 30th. The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get on every possible chance to win the season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, divisions, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at BetOnline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word, BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts.
But moving on from Desmond Bane, we're going to Jaden McDaniels. Don't know much about him at all, so fill me in.
Yeah, a lot of people don't. It's understandable. If you're going to take like a risk or like a project pick at 19, I think Jaden McDaniels fits the Nets much better, because his frame and his defensive acumen, he played at Washington, which we know to be a defensive kind of factory. They had Thibault last year. They've had other guys. They have a good like defensive foundation, and therefore McDaniels has one. He's got that wing body to step in right away, and he's sometimes a really tenacious defender. His issues are mostly character driven.
Interesting.
There are some times where he would like check out of games mentally, or he'd get frustrated in the middle of a game, and it might impact how the rest of his game goes. Now, those are things like I don't know the guy. I've never talked to him, so I can't really comment his personality or anything. But I think those things can be worked out in the right situation, and it's possible the Nets are there. And I also think that of like these guys who, you know, are a bit of projects, or Daniels would be that would impress KD and Kyrie the most, just because he'll make some wicked defensive play. He'll like swallow up a dude. They'll be like, okay, this guy.
Do you think that I don't think that they're similar. I think they have similar skills. But seeing and watching a little bit of Jaden McDaniels' film and reading about him, he reminds me, he has shades of Nicholas Claxton in terms of just the versatility to shoot, a really good athlete. Do you think that those guys clash with each other on the roster at all in terms of their skill sets, in terms of, you know, maybe taking minutes from each other?
The advantage of the Claxton and McDaniels types, that's a solid comp. The advantage is that you can play them together, like multiple guys of that ilk. So, no, I would not say that's an issue.
And there's also a chance that Claxton might not pop off. You know what I mean? Obviously, he showed flashes so far, but if you have kind of two lottery tickets, better chance at winning.
Is McDaniels more of a wing, so that he could defend wings better, whereas Claxton I'd ultimately see as a five? He can play some four. We did see him play a little bit of four, you know, alongside Jared Allen and DeAndre a couple of games this season. But is McDaniels a better sort of wing guy, better three-point shooter? It seems to me, skill-wise, you know, McDaniels is probably more modern and more prototypical as a wing.
That's accurate, yeah. His shooting, he actually showed some ability at Washington to hit some really interesting shots out of certain sets, like handoffs and stuff. So even if that's not, like, the biggest part of his game, for him to have that shows that he can probably play on the wing more than Claxton.
What are his measurements looking like?
So he's 6'9 with an almost 7-foot wingspan. Only 200 pounds right now. That's going to bulk up as he, you know, gets some NBA time. But I think of like the guys who are more risky and not ready to win right now, he's one of the better selections you can make as the Nets.
Hampton or McDaniels? I'm going to keep throwing different ones at you, Alec.
McDaniels.
I like it.
Yeah, McDaniel seems like he has some real pop, and it's usually the guys that no one really knows about up until the draft, and you're like, oh, wow, this guy could maybe do something.
Kind of seen Sean Marksy, like we've talked about Hampton a little bit, but to me, McDaniel seems more like a Sean Marks kind of guy. You know, maybe RJ Hampton is more of a Sean Marks guy, as I mentioned, because he played for New Zealand in the NBL, and maybe that's just like, hey, you play for New Zealand, you're coming to the Nets. But to me, in terms of skill-wise and player-wise, McDaniels just seems to be the sort of prototype that Sean Marks seems to fall in love with.
And he seems like more of a need. You know what I mean? Somebody who could fit down the line with KD and Kyrie or the guards on the roster. So, all right, we got the next prospect. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce his name. Jack, help me out here.
Alexei Pokuševski. Am I saying it right? Pokuševski.
I think it's Pokuševski. Most people call him Poku, just to...
Poku? You know, that's what I'm going with.
Poku would be the ultimate, like, swing for the fences type of pick at 19. Yeah. He's got a center's body, but he's got guard skills. He's got a translatable and improving jumper. He's got some really interesting passing skills for a guy his size. His issue is that he's not really playable like next season or in a very specific role next season. I would see the Nets making that pick if they're confident in their free agency decisions. Like, for example, if they know that they're going to get like a Serge Ibaka type and they're confident with their roster going into next season, they're just like, yeah, you know what, we'll take a shot here.
He's the swing for the fences sort of pick, you know, and he is so damn skinny. I feel like every time I see him out there, he's going to break. If he was playing like a contact sport, you know, he wouldn't survive. But man, he is just fluid as hell. Like he plays like a point guard, but he's like enormous. Like he wouldn't fit in my house right now. He'd probably hit his head on the roof. He's just so damn tall. But man, I don't think I've ever seen a skinnier person. When I've seen video of him, I'm like, dude, man, I worry for him. And now, obviously, and I think that's been, I'm not comparing him to Kristaps Porzingis, but I'm just, because they're just Euro guys. But he's had worries with his body in terms of his weight. You know, I remember hearing, you know, in the postseason, you know, him talk about it with the trainers, and he's sort of like, you know, I want to retain, you know, a little bit less. But the Mavs are like, we want you to retain a little bit more because it's going to allow you to be more durable and last a little bit longer. Man, Pokuševski could be one of the better players in the NBA. He could literally be, he has the talent and skill set, as Alec alluded to be maybe one of the best centers. based off just what he does, and just it's just so goddamn unique. Like, you can barely make comps with him. Like, I know Lamar Odom, he's got like Nikola Jokic-esque, not Nikola Jokic-like, Nikola Jokic-esque passing ability. He's an incredibly raw. Like, we're talking like RJ Hampton times a million raw. Like, he ain't played in the NBA for a couple of and stash kind of guy. Over to just like, all right, you're eating nothing but Chipotle and Popeyes as Brandon Ingram and Caris Sever been doing for the last couple of years, and you get in that weight room, my dude.
What would you say his ceiling is, Alec?
His ceiling? I mean, there are very few prospects like him, so I don't even know if I can put a ceiling on a guy like that. I don't know. I mean, Porzingis, I guess, he's got better playmaking than Porzingis.
Does.
I don't think he has the rim protection of Porzingis, so some... I don't know. I mean, probably a top 15 player, top 10 player.
Well, yeah, people have said that, and I'm not saying this. I'm quoting from other podcasts, places I've listened to, that he's the Giannis of this draft. In saying that you go for a guy who played in overseas, who has incredibly raw, so much potential, not necessarily ready, but we can make him ready. And if you back your scouting system and you back your trainers, you back your assistant coaches, you can turn him into an incredibly good NBA basketballer. You know, he might not even make it over. He might sort of be, you know, a Dragon Bender sort of type. He could either be... The range for him is like Dragon Bender to Kristaps / Giannis Nikola Jokic. It's anywhere. Like, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah, and I think that this might be the draft for a team to take a chance like that, because there aren't that many guys with mega upside in this draft that we know of. Now, we could be wrong about this in 3 years. Who knows? Hmm. But because they said, some people said 2018 was going to be a weak draft, and look at that now. So if, like, this would be the, maybe Sean Marks would just see value here. He'd be like, hey, 19 taking a swing like this? Hell yeah.
And it'd be interesting, too, is if it was a draft and stash guy, you still have the roster spot. You know what I mean? Or somebody that, you know, you're not going to play and have to use, and you can give it to a vet or something like that. But moving on to next prospect, Aaron Naismith. Why would he go with the Nets?
Aaron Naismith would be a great fit with the Nets. It's just that the expectations based on mocks and all kinds of stuff I've seen, I don't expect him to be at 19. If he's there, great fit. He's like one of the best wing prospects in the draft. He's not one of the like most stout defenders of the wing prospects, but he's a pretty solid one and obviously an improving one. And he's got a really nice jump shot. I mean, that's like people say a flamethrower jump shot for him. He'd be an immediate great fit. Him and Joe Harris on the wings firing away threes, that would be excellent for the Nets offense. I would just be surprised if he falls to 19.
What range do you think he's in?
Like late lottery, probably.
There's a chance, as the Jim Carrey gif is, so you're saying there's a chance, as they all have. I think I've used that more than any other one when it comes to this time of year, especially. In terms of like NBA comps, you know, I sort of see like Danny Green when he's actually shooting the ball well, in that sort of respect. You know, he can defend relatively well. I don't think he's as good of an athlete laterally as some of the other guys we've spoken about, but the three-point shot more than makes up for it. You know, I would have dreams. I'm not going to say what I was going to say. I would have dreams, nice dreams, very pleasant dreams about him and Joe Harris on the perimeter. Hey, I didn't say it. You put it in your head. That's inception right there. But, you know, I think that, you know, he can't create a lot for himself, but in saying that, he's not going to need to create a lot for himself. I think while that's probably the number one skill for if you're going for a really high-end sort of guy, as sort of has been said, and Alec has mentioned this in a lot of the articles on OTGBasketball.com, there's a lot of great role players and just good NBA basketballers in this class, and Aaron Naismith, you know, epitomizes that. He's a really smart player, too.
Yeah. He would play a role right away. Of the guys we've talked about and of the guys we will talk about, he's by far the best fit and one of the better talents. He's an excellent wing prospect, especially for a contender.
What would be some of his NBA comps?
Well, Danny Green when he's on, that's a good one. Maybe a more refined Buddy Hield in terms of he won't be an erratic shot taker, but he'll be an accurate one.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to watch more film. He's one of the guys who I sort of did a little bit of research lately. But Alec is making me warm to this guy. And he might not be Australian, but he certainly does a lot of things that I do enjoy on the basketball court.
All right, moving on from him, on to Jalen Smith. What does he do on the court? What can he bring to the Nets?
Jalen Smith's a really stretchy big from Maryland. He's got all the intangibles too to make to fit with his like body type. I think if the Nets are looking at him, it means that they're not getting a big in free agency, because this guy he won't be like a 30-minute guy right away. But he does have a lot of comps I've seen for him are Serge Ibaka. So he's kind of fitting into that 3-and-D big mold eventually.
Can't get the real thing, go for the closest thing.
Why not? In saying that, I think as well, if Jared Allen or Claxton were to be moved, it would make more sense. I don't understand why Sean Marks would draft him to have like, you know, a fifth center on the roster, however many we've got. You know, we've got it's like the formation of the roster. If Jalen Smith were to be there at pick 19 and Sean Marks would have taken him, it'd be like, here's our bigs, here's our guards, and here's Kevin Durant. That's basically I mean, you can add in Toyin Prince as well, you know, not to besmirch my guy TP. It's not a Tuesday, so I can besmirch him. It's not TP Tuesdays. But yeah, I think he does a lot of good things, and I think he's, you know, a lot of bigs in this class, you know, get a difference. You know, there's a difference of opinion. Wow, got that one out eventually. But, you know, he does everything you want out of your modern big, as Alec was alluding to. Good shot blocker, good three-point shooter, good rebounder. You know, the perfect modern big for the NBA in 2020.
Yeah, I think, like you said, Jack, if they do make this move, maybe it means they're trading Jared Allen and adding another young big, because I think they probably want to add a vet. You know what I mean? If they lose Jared Allen, they want to have somebody they can go to if DeAndre Jordan gets into foul trouble, which seems kind of likely in the playoffs at some point. But moving on from Jalen Smith, Sadiq Bey has been a guy that seems like he's the Bey of Nets Twitter. Like, everybody's just I knew you would like that. I just constantly, like, see his name. Tell me about his game and why people are talking about him.
So Sadiq Bey, he's basically like a plug and play, like, two-way wing right now. He went to Villanova, and Villanova in recent years has been excellent at just producing these role players like Josh Hart, DiVincenzo, Mikhail Bridges, Jalen Brunson. Like, that's a really good track record. And Sadiq Bey is just, he's not going to flop in the NBA. He's one of those guys you know is going to have a role. Just because he knows who he is. He knows his own game. He's not going to try and step out of it too much. He's a guy who his draft range has been said to be a little higher than 19. But, I mean, if he falls 19, yeah, solid fit. I mean, he can play the three or the four almost, like, right away.
Yeah, he does everything that, you know, Damari Carroll did on the Nets, you know, in previous iterations. But as a young guy, obviously a little bit older, you know, 21 years old, but, you know, ready-made prospect, as Alec was alluding to. Defends really well on both ends of the floor. You know, he's just an impact player. You know, he just makes plays, incredibly smart, versatile, and capable in so many ways that whichever team gets him, you know, he's not going to win Rookie of the Year, but he's going to maybe be one of the more consistent players out of this rookie class, because he's going to play consistently. He plays at a role and does winning things that few rookies do. You know, few rookies can impact defensively straight away. You know, Alex Guy, Matisse Thybulle is one of the very few. I think Sadiq Bey could be one of the few from this class that does that, but also still contribute offensively. You know, he's not a great athlete. You know, I think that, you know, we talked about the athleticism of guys like RJ Hampton and Jaden McDaniels and Josh Green. You know, he's not a great athlete in any respect, but sometimes, you know, athleticism is a thing that gets overrated as a skill. And you just want a guy who you know what you're going to get from him, consistent, and plays a position that is more valuable than any other in the modern NBA.
What do you guys think the range is for him?
Like, teens, so he could very easily be available at 19.
Yeah, I would go anywhere from 12 to 20. That's what, how, just in my mind, you know, I get worried about, like, people sort of hyping him up. It's just like, and sort of seeing, you know, another team that's in sort of going, I like the tweet from NBA 3457 saying about Sadiq Bey. let's take that dude. Clearly, that's not going to happen. But, you know, so much of Nets Twitter has fallen in love with him. And for good reason. Because out of the guys who've sort of spoken about, it's Sadiq Bey. I mean, you've spoken about a couple of guys that you probably have preference towards, Alec. How would he fit in would you, could you see him playing closing minutes in a playoff games for the Brooklyn Nets as a sort of, you know, whether it's at the three or the four with KD?
Yeah, I could see him closing minutes. I mean, he's got the build and he's got the mentality and he's got the skill set to play like right away. He's just one of those guys who just fits in. So yeah, I could absolutely see him playing right away. If I were to rank him as best fit here, I'd go Naismith first, then Bay, then Desmond Bane. So yeah.
Okay, so this is a guy the Nets are hoping falls. Next up, we got Leandro Balmero. Tell me about his game and what he can bring to the Nets. And Jack, how to do with the pronunciation there?
I would go Balmero. You got to roll your ass a little bit. Okay. I'm joking. look, I'm not co-hosting with Corey Waldron. I'm never going to have any issues with you, my guy. He's always catching strays, Corey. He's always catching strays. Hope he's doing well after recovering from his surgery. It's always good. And that outlet that you did with him, the trades, check that out on YouTube, Off the Glass. But Alec, what do you got on Leandro Balmero, as an Aussie would say it?
Yeah, so my first thought of Balmero is he looks like a Jonas brother. But other than that, he's got really good defensive instincts for like guys who come over from Europe. A lot of guys who have come over have been considered like weak defenders. I don't know how true most of that is, but he's definitely got the mindset. He's got the IQ. He's a really good passer for his size. The thing that's holding him back is his jumper. If he like he just doesn't have a good jump shot right now, like good 3-point efficacy or anything like that. So it like his role in the NBA just comes down to if he can make threes.
Yeah, I think he has a better offensive skill set than a lot of the guys we've spoken about, you know, as Alec was alluding to in terms of his passing. And, you know, like I said, fit offensively with Steve Nash and Mike D'Antoni, the sort of European style, bring his sort of style of play there. But, you know, the three-point shot is incredibly inconsistent. And in that sort of respect, if you want a plug-and-play ready-made prospect, probably not right now. I think he's going to have the consistency of Jalen Musa of the past couple of years. But in saying that, you know, guys can thrive in the system. And maybe he turns into Rodion's courts and just like, this guy, you know, has the skills and prototype to contribute to NBA winning basketball. You know, that could certainly happen as well. You know, I'm not necessarily an expert on these guys as much as Alec is, but I think he could contribute, but not as well as, you know, the top three that Alec gave and even some other guys from this class.
And like we mentioned before, there's already the ball handlers and the playmakers. So a rookie having impact on the Nets offensively is probably going to be on, you know, 3-point catch and shoots or cuts to the rim. They're not really going to have an opportunity to make many plays.
The other thing is it must be stated that Balmero is likely going to stay overseas another season. So he would be a draft and stash, which is like why I don't see why this pick would make sense at all for the Nets. Like they need any immediate contributors, as we've talked about ad nauseum. But, I mean, he's a solid prospect, just I don't think for the Nets.
Yep. Moving on to our final one, Malachi Flynn. What does he bring?
So Malachi Flynn comes in the mold of an undersized, defensive-minded guard. There are a lot of guys already in the NBA like him. We got Tyus Jones. We got Fred VanVleet. We got Jalen Brunson, the guy on the Suns. Why am I the backup point guard on the Suns.
Yeah, Anthony Melton.
Javon Carter. That's it. Thank you. So there are plenty. There's like a track record for these undersized guys who know their roles and will set the tone on offense. Flynn would be the pick if you're either not believing in Chris Chiosa or just not bringing him back at all. He would just be a backup like point guard tone setter for the Nets because of his size. Him and Kyrie Irving playing together is very questionable. He's also like 6'1", but he's a good player and would play a role right away. It just would be a smaller one than one of the wings.
He's got 2 inches of Chris Chiosa. Chris Chiosa is an undersized guy, but what Chris Chiosa does have is, you know, a semi-elite. His handle's really good and he's a really good passer, whereas Malachi Flynn seems to be more steady, as Alec was alluding to with those sort of names. You know, can shoot the ball well, isn't an awesome athlete, whereas I don't you know, if a guard were to be traded, Spencer Dinwiddie, Karras, Musa, whoever, and Chiosa weren't to be retained either, or Jeremiah Martin either, then maybe that's the pick. But out of all the guys we've referenced, and you know, I can't remember who mocked Malachi Flynn to the Nets, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. But you know, we have to talk about it. A guard, at least, and Malachi Flynn seems to be at least a prototype that will contribute to NBA winning basketball. Probably not for the Nets, though.
Agreed. Yeah, I would agree with that. It was Yahoo Sports who mocked Malachi Flynn.
There we go.
Yeah, and if the Nets were to bring an undersized guard into next year's team, it would probably be Chris Chiosa, a guy that already knows the squad. Like, bringing this guy doesn't really make much sense.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Most of these guards, like we've said, don't really make much sense for the Nets.
It just worked for the mock draft that they put out, so they're just like, you know, this is kind of fits the slot. But if you had to make a prediction, who do you think the Nets are going to land on draft night?
If I were to guess, Sean Marks is going to pick an upside guy here. I said, I would pick like Nesmith if he's there, Sadiq Bey, Desmond Bain, someone like that. But I think I'm thinking Jaden McDaniels as a prediction. Okay.
I'll be different and biased and go Josh Green.
And I don't know enough to make an informed opinion. So
now, in terms of all of these guys, Alec, Jaden McDaniels obviously seems to be a Sean Marks-y sort of guy. The Bain, Naismith, and Bay are probably the three higher upside prospects and guys that have been mocked earlier a lot. Out of Bain, Naismith, and Sadiq Bay, who out of those three do you think is more likely to drop to the Nets?
Bane. It would be Bane. Okay. Just because he's a senior, so his ceiling is considered limited. Now, I'm not an ageist when it comes to the draft. Like, we've seen, like, Brandon Clark be awesome right away, despite, like, the only reason he fell as far as he did was because he was 21. I don't buy that in a lot of cases. In some cases, you do. But in this case, I think, especially with his skill set, like, he's only going to get better. And I think in the Nets system, he would be a great fit. And he's more likely between Naismith Bey and himself to fall.
I like it.
Alec, you know, Jack and I already kind of discussed, if you were the Nets, would you look to trade this pick or look to make this pick?
It really depends on who you're trading for. Like, I don't know if I would make this move. Like, I don't know if I would trade it for Drew Holiday. I think you have enough matchable salaries and assets otherwise to make that kind of move. If you're going for a higher upside guy, if you're going for James Harden, obviously you throw in this pick. I would say it's a case-by-case basis.
Yeah. I mean, would you be in favor of the Nets, let's say, attaching this to Torian Prince and getting some type of forward upgrade? Probably not an all-star, but probably someone who's a little bit more two-way capable.
Aaron Gordon. Like that. Yeah.
I would rather keep the pick at that point. Aaron Gordon is somebody who I talked about on Corey's podcast, Full Access, during the Magic Obituaries. We've been talking about for the past 6 years Aaron Gordon making that leap that hasn't come yet. And I'm not saying it can't. I mean, Orlando is a very weird roster, so it's possible that there's something to unlock there. But I think the Nets need to not take too many risks when it comes to this pick.
Nets Twitter just wept hearing Alec besmirch Aaron Gordon, I think.
No, I said,
I want all the smoke.
I said this on the outlet. The idea of Aaron Gordon is probably better than what you're going to get. It kind of reminds me of Torian Prince, where he'll be better than Torian Prince, but he'll never live up to what you kind of expect him to be, given the talent that he does have.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get into that on our free agency pod. But yeah, what do you, I guess overall, Alec, give us a final sort of summary on what you think the Nets should do, what you want them to do, what you hope they'll do. Just give us a sort of final summary from your end and your sort of research and stuff and the chat we've sort of had on this pod so far.
Jack, he's a Sixers fan. He's going to hope the pick is a bust.
Yeah, I have an affinity for the Nets after, you know, covering them for a few years at my old website. But I think that they should pick a role-playing wing, a guy who can slot in, play at least like 10 to 15 minutes like right away. I think that Sean Marks will go a little more upside-y here. He always has, even like... He knew that KD and Kyrie were coming last year, and he still picked Claxton as opposed to, like, a role player who, like, could step in right away. So I definitely think he'll get a little more spicy than that. What was the third question? I'm sorry. The third
I was just asking random questions. I think that those are the ones that I wanted the answers to. And, you know, in terms of overall, do you think that this pick, in terms of, like, value right now, the 19th pick in the draft, there's talks of the Nets even sort of, like, wanting to ship and go up a little bit. There's a heap of talk, like, you know, maybe the I don't know, whether 26 and 30 from Boston for 19 or something. If there's people looking to consolidate in this draft, do you think the Nets would take a look at it? Or do you think, obviously, with the constraints that they have with the salary cap, that they're just looking for pick 19, and if they move up a little bit, they might attach a Prince or a Musa or something to get, you know, maybe they're in love with Desmond Bane, Sadiq Bey, or Aaron Naismith in that sort of respect. Or do you see sort of Sean Marks playing it safe? I'm going to go my guy, the athletic upside dude who can shoot a three, and maybe in 3 years will contribute once KD and Kyrie are no longer playing. What do you think happens within that respect?
Of those, like, the scenarios between trading up and trading down, I see many more scenarios where they trade up. Okay. Like, finding that guy that, like, rock solid, this guy's going to play right away kind of thing. I could definitely see that. Trading down would be if Marks, like, doesn't like any of the guys on the board. Like, if all three of those wings are taken and, like, your best option, and Josh Green's gone too, and your best pick is, like, Tyrell Terry, then, yeah, I could see a situation where they trade down. I could also see a situation, Zach Lowe talked about this on several of his pods, of like, teams selling a first-round pick, possibly. It hasn't happened in a while, but, like, because of the financial crunches, because of some... The Boston has a roster crunch coming themselves, like, with all the guys that they have to, like, make decisions on. They could sell 30 if they can't get it, like, if they can't use it in a trade-up. So maybe the Nets actually buy an extra pick.
Yeah. I would say against the adding another first-round pick would be the cap hold. Because I think 19 is already like 2.6 mil, depending if they go up or down. Now you're looking at another cap hold. Luxury tax bill is already crazy. We kind of talked about it. We can ask Josiah to play a lot of money, but you can't really be like, yo, Josiah, we need you to pay the luxury tax for another rookie. Because even though it's only like $2 million, whatever it comes in after the multiplier, you're like, okay, like, yeah, this guy's probably not even going to play this season. I would say it'd be more likely in my eyes, I think, like you said, Alec, trade up, get a guy that you specifically want. Or trade down like they did last year, get a future pick, and pick early in the second round like they did with Nick Claxton.
Yeah.
But any other thoughts on the Nets draft, fellas?
We've gone deep, and, you know, this is normally the time of year where I fall in love with certain guys. I'm the Josh Green stan on Twitter / Nets Twitter. I don't think there are many Josh Green stans on Twitter in general. I'm not necessarily totally sure of that, but I'm in on JG. But there are a lot of guys in this draft that I think, in terms of being like a weak class up the top, almost benefits teams like the Nets and the contenders because there are so many good role players, as I've sort of alluded to and Alex alluded to as well.
Yeah, I think that's been a trend in recent drafts in general, is that there's been strong role players to come out. And I think it's because we know more about what, like, is requisite to survive in the NBA, like, at higher levels. We know what we're looking for more than ever before. So I think that helps a lot of guys who previously, Patrick Williams is a great example. He was a backup at Florida State this year, and he's not going to fall to 19, that he's going to be out of that range. But he's a guy who most people wouldn't have found out about because he didn't start all season. So it's like, what if this guy wasn't productive in college, why could he be a good prospect? And now this new age of information that we have, it makes these under-the-radar guys stand out more.
And it kind of relates to a conversation we were having off-air about the differences between the college game and the NBA game. Because sometimes you can't necessarily see that skill exactly in the college game, but you know what the skill is and how it could kind of relate to the NBA game and how they could probably be more successful. And you see that happen sometimes.
Landry Shamet, who was mentioned earlier, I believe. He's a great example of that because he was the point guard of Wichita State. And then the Sixers brought him in and very, very intelligently just made him a shooter. And it allowed him to refine that one skill that wasn't exactly like – it wasn't the feature skill of his at Wichita State because he was considered like a point guard by a lot of scouts. And then he just became like a lightning quick shooter.
And maybe that's, you know, to compare, I guess, to RJ Hampton, because he didn't play in college and he played in the NBL against ready-made sort of guys. I know Bill Simmons isn't a fan of the NBL, but I think it is still a good physical league. And I think that's why RJ Hampton did struggle, because of the physicality of it. But playing against, you know, 25, 30-year-olds, you know, it is a professional league. These guys do make decent contracts off it. You know, maybe Sean Marks saw something there against the likes of, you know, Mitch Creek. Let's shout out our guy Mitch Creek on the podcast. But maybe that's why there is some love for RJ Hampton going on behind the scenes as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. Something about Hampton would just be something that we don't know. That would be why they pick him.
There's always some of those connections, especially in a draft like this where, you know, we didn't have March Madness, COVID-19, not having the workouts, the combine's not the same. I feel like it's really going to be a weird draft night. And I feel like I have more hope than usual in terms of somebody falling in the draft, because I feel like there's probably going to be a couple reaches in the lottery that kind of lead to some good things. But appreciate you hopping on, Alec. Jack, always a pleasure. Big thanks, everybody, for listening. And you can catch us on all streaming platforms.